ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ता ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। अथ साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः। सीइंग दि कमेंट्री ऑफ आदिशंकर भगवत्पादः इम्पोर्टेंट पोर्शन ऑफ द इम्पोर्टेंट चैप्टर as the second chapter. As we know, from the 12th verse onwards, Bhagavan has been unfolding the nature of the Atma. Atma Swarupam Pratipadayati Bhagavan Dvadasha Shlokataha. The 12th verse onwards, the nature of the Atma has been unfolded. So let us read those verses. First, श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासूनगतासूंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः न त्वेवाहं जातु नासम् न त्वन्ने मे जनाधिपाः न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम् देहिनोऽस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारम् यौवनम् जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्णसुखदुःखदाः आगमापायिनो नित्याः ताम् स्थितिक्षस्व भारत यम् हि न व्यथयन्त्येते पुरुषम् पुरुषर्षभ समदुःखसुखम् धीरम् सोऽमृतत्वाय कल्पते नासतो विद्यते भावः नाभावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः अविनाशितु तद्विद्धि येन सर्वमिदम् ततम् विनाशमव्ययस्यास्य न कश्चित् कर्तुमर्हसि अन्तवन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिणः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युज्यस्व भारत य एनम् वेत्ति हन्तारम् यश्चैनम् मन्यते हतम् उभौ तौ न विजानीतः नायम् हन्ति न हन्यते न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायम् भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यः शाश्वतोऽयम् पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे वेदाविनाशिनम् नित्यम् ययेनमजमव्ययम् कथम सपुरुष पार्थ कम घातयति हन्तिकम्. ओके, सो इन अनफोल्डिंग द नेचर ऑफ द आत्मा, द नेचर ऑफ द रियालिटी obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual, as the very substance of the substantive I, Bhagavan says, this reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining as the very meaning of the word I, is in fact absolutely indestructible. Avinashi, anashi. Not subject to destruction at all. Not subject to destruction, indestructible means what? Not subject to any of the modifications. See, being subject to destruction means being subject to change. Why? Because in our Vedic tradition, destruction means being subject to change. Why? There is no such thing called total destruction of anything here. Nothing can be destroyed at all totally. Nothing is created, nothing can be destroyed. There is no creation of anything, there is no destruction of anything. Which means then what does the word destruction mean? A change alone is said to be destruction. Change is only relative destruction. Change is relative destruction. Relative destruction is what? Destruction of the form. Destruction of the form only. So whatever destruction, the whole so-called destruction happens, destruction is nothing but a change. And those the change is of six types. You say sixfold modifications. We understood, no? Sixfold modifications. Here means asti, and that they're revealed by the six verbs. The verbs are used here to denote the changes, modifications happening on the part of any physical subject to the sixfold at all of anything. Atma is absolutely indestructible. Anatma always said to be the anything which is not the Atma. Everything other than the Atma is Anatma. Anatma, the matter or material forms are subject to relative destruction. Relative destruction is said to be change or modification. And the sixfold modifications happening on the part of the physical forms of the living beings, isn't it? We can say asti. Asti means exists. This verb asti, meaning exists, actually implies the temporary existence. Temporary existence is called asti. It exists temporarily. What happens? It undergoes a change, isn't it? Then asti jayate. Jayate means what? Without having been before, coming into existence, isn't it? Without having been, means what? Without having been a given form, before existing in different form, and coming into existence, jayate. You can say, just as from mother's womb, the physical form is born. Inside the womb also, it is undergoing sort of changes. It has existence, how long? Temporary, it has existence there, in a given form. That's an already modification. Inside the womb, it has temporary. The baby's body has temporary existence but inside the womb and undergoing changes. Then it becomes, it has a full-fledged growth to come out. It is born, there's another change. So coming to existence is what? Jayate means is born. So being born is a change. So birth is a change. Birth is a change. And then, after being born, then this grows, this growth is there, vardhate. So, jayate, a verb denotes the change in the form of birth. Then vardhate, the change in him of growth. Growth happens. Vardhate, then viparinamate. The growth should result in what? The further change in the form of metamorphosis. As I said, the young woman attains puberty, young man has, you know, some sort of mustache and he voice breaks, isn't it? And some things happen, changes happen. So metamorphosis. So viparinamate. Asti jayate vardhate viparinamate. Then there's a stage when the growth comes to an end. Then it starts decay. Decay, degeneration is what now we say, okay, vipakshiyate or kshiyate. You can say both. And finally, nashyati. Nashyati means perishes. Perishes means what? Perishes means becomes destroyed. Becomes destroyed means what? The total collapse. The form gets collapsed totally. The form gets collapsed totally. That is not a total, that's not the total destruction. It's only relative destruction. Completely under, the form is no more available. When the form is still there, even then subtle changes happen. And the form gets collapsed totally means the gross modification, gross change, big change. Completely the form becomes reduced into, becomes disintegrated into five elements and all the minerals become what? Just the powder, ashes. That is what, that is big gross change. Isn't it? When the, before the nasha, before the nashi, the modification denoted by the verb nashyati, there are changes happening. Those changes we cannot make out, subtle changes. Isn't it? Asti vardhate, you don't see the change. Suddenly you see the persons who doesn't see you for a long time, they can make out how the change has happened. Every day you are seeing, you can't make out the change. It's a subtle change. Isn't it? Even now, every day, constant cell division is happening. What we're eating is exhausted. Again, something new is happening. These are subtle changes constantly happening. It's all change, modification. So no such a change is there at all for the Atma. Atma is absolutely free from all forms of these modifications. There's no seventh modification is not there. Whatever modifications, changes, whatever possible modifications, changes can happen in the part of any life, the body, isn't it? All those changes have been, you know, they're only within the six modifications only. The seventh modification is not there. Okay? And Atma is free from all those six modifications. Okay? That's what is we understand, we said here. Okay. So there Bhagavan mentioned, you're absolutely free from all changes. It's called avikriyatvam. I want to understand this word, avikriyatvam. Vikriyaha means subject to modification. Avikriyaha, not subject to modification. Avikriyatvam means changelessness. Being free from modifications, that avikriyatvam. Avikriyatvam, atmanaha swarupam. And what is your atma here? Abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest reality. And how do you understand that? The reality, how do you arrive at it? We have arrived at it in terms of its nature of knowing. When we do this Drishyaveka Prakriya, when you use this Prakriya, use this Prakriya of Avasthatraya Prakriya, we do understand the knower of the mind. Mind itself is subtle. The knower of the mind, knower of three states of mind, in terms of the knower, obtaining as the witness of these three states of experience, is distinct from the known states of mind. That knower, that witness, that experiencer is actually a qualification attributed to the abstract formless reality. Okay? And this is explained many times. Temporary qualification attributed to the reality. If I say in this room, there is illumination in this room. What is the illumination is, therefore, all these opaque physical forms, opaque living live bodies, opaque non-living things, all of them now shine. They shine because they are illumined. The illumined means the being illumined. All these opaque things are objects of illumination. The objects of illumination are possible because there is illumination. The illumination is possible. The illumination or the illumined objects presuppose what? Illuminator. Isn't it? So we have to say there must be illuminator. Without the illuminator, there cannot be illumination. There cannot be the illumined objects also. It's called Triputi Bhedaha. Illuminator, illumination, illumined objects. Triputi Bhedaha, the threefold difference. The illuminator is different, illumined is different, and the illumination is different. Is it? So the illuminator is there. Therefore, illumination is possible. Illumination is possible. Therefore, the illumined objects are there. Without the illuminator, there cannot be illumination. Without the illumination, there cannot be illumined. The illumined cannot be there. And the illumined are of the nature of opaqueness. They do not have light of their own. They do not have the capacity to reveal their existence. Okay? And they're always dependent on an illumining light, illuminator light, to come to light. That's why we say the light does not create the illumined opaque things, but still light lends existence to the illumined opaque things. Light lends existence means what? The illumined opaque things, the opaque things, if they're not illumined, they will remain covered in darkness. They will lose the status of being existent. Even though they're existent, they're as good as non-existent if they do not shine. Illumined means so what? Opaque things are there, so what? They do not serve any purpose. They do not have existence because they're even covered in darkness. They're as good as non-existent. So only when they're illumined, the opaque things, when they shine, they enjoy the status of being existent. Astitvam is possible only if they are illumined. So, being illumined means what? Having the status of being existent. Enjoying existence. Being illumined means having, enjoying existence. Not being illumined, remain covered in darkness means being non-existent, being as good as non-existent. Therefore, the illumined shine. If we search for the illuminator, the word illuminator, the adjective is there. And the illuminate, if we search for the noun, do not occur, meant by this word illuminate, the adjective illuminator, you find the adjective will resolve in the very noun. How does it resolve? Illuminator is light. Light and illuminator are not two different things. Illuminator of the opaque things, illuminator is, because of whose presence, there is illumination is, there is illumination, because of the presence of which the illumined are, illumined objects are. The illuminator is light. When you say, you're equating the word illuminator to the light. Illuminator is light means the word illuminator is equated to light. Equated to light means what? Illuminator and the light are not two different things. Illuminator is just, there's no substance called illuminator other than the light. Illuminator is just the qualification attributed to the light from the standpoint of the illumination and the illumined opaque things. One and the same. isn't it? Therefore, light alone has this temporary qualification as illuminator. Really speaking, there's no illuminator. There's just the light. Understand? Similarly, and here, how many lights are there? Light is one light. The illumined are many. Illumination is one. Illumined are many. But illuminator is light. Just the light. And that light, if you ask from the standpoint of the light, is the light illuminator? If you ask, no. Light is not the illuminator. Why light is not the illuminator? Who else is the illuminator? Of course, the illuminator is none other than the light. But what about the light? Light is not the illuminator. Why? Illumining is not an action. Light, by its mere presence, it illumines. Illumining happens to be the swarupam. I'm repeating this very simple kindergarten class. I have repeated many times. You have to remember to apply this where? Abstract reality. Illumining is not an action. It is the swarupam, nature. That is how light can be. Light can be only what? Illumining. Because illumining is the nature. Swarupam. Swarupatvat. Yeah, swarupam. So, from the standpoint of the light, light is not the illuminator. Light is just the light. And what about illumination? Light is not the illumination also. Even though illumining is the swarupam, not an action, light is not the illuminator. Light is not the illumination. Light is not even the illumined. Of course, light is not at all the illumined object. So light is that which is free from this triputi bhedaha. Triputi, threefold difference. Light is free from this illuminator, illumination, illumined difference. There's no difference. Just light is just the light. One substance. So light and opaque things, we can say, the all the opaque things which shine in the presence of the light, enjoy their existence, enjoy the status of being existent, also can be negated as what? Equated to the lame light only. All these opaque things are nothing but reflections of light. Many colors, all varieties of colors, all various colors are reflections of the only light. Reflections of only light. Therefore, all the reflections are mithya. Opaque things are mithya. Isn't it? Light alone is satyam. Between light and the opaque, there's no difference. Why there's no difference? The opaque things cannot be counted as parallel reality. You can't say there's light, there's an opaque thing. They're not two. They're not one. Light is completely different. Light is ever of the nature of illumining. Opaque things ever of the nature of opaqueness. It can never shine by itself. Light is different. Opaque things are different. Opaque thing is different. They're not two. They're not one. They're not one. But are they two then? They're not two also. Why? How can we say light opaque things are not two? Because if opaque things have independent existence without the light, in the absence of light, the opaque things can still exist without the light. The opaque things can be counted as what? Another thing other than the light. Opaque things can never shine in the absence of light. Opaque things, wherever opaque thing shines, before the opaque thing, there must be already light. Opaque thing enjoys its existence only in the presence of the light. Is it true? Therefore, what? Opaque things cannot be counted as any, no opaque thing can be counted as a parallel reality, relative reality. Parallelly. Opaque thing is what then? Opaque thing is just mithya. Why? It has no independent existence. what is opaque thing? Every opaque thing is nothing but reflection of light. Reflection of light. Light alone is shining in the form of countless number of opaque things. Because opaque thing shines means what is already there inseparably along with the opaque thing is light. There is no physical distance, time distance between light and the opaque thing. This inseparability, we understand the inseparability of the light and the opaque thing which enjoys existence. That's why it is the light which is in the form of existence of the opaque thing. The existence enjoyed by the opaque thing is nothing but the light. Okay, the light is the existence of the opaque thing with reference to opaque thing. Just an example, grossest example. Now we come to this, the absolute reality, ultimate truth beyond which nothing is. Param Brahma, Brahma Vastu, Param Vastu, Paravastu. Here, this reality, Shastram says, reality has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing. Chidrupe naiva avagantavyam. That is why this, pushing this prakriyas, specific prakriya drakrishyaveka prakriya, Shastram helps us distinguish the reality as the knower, which is different from the known. And anything known, everything known, is what? Is of the nature of inertness. What does it mean? Being inert means not knowing its own existence, not knowing one's own existence. Nothing in this world has the capacity to know its own existence. Nothing. So nothing means what? Including one's body, mind, and complex. That's why the objective universe, the world of objects is inclusive of one's own body, mind, and complex. Of course, all of the other bodies also included here. The live bodies, dead bodies, the living beings, the non-living things, the everything, the entire world of objects, the objective universe is of the nature of inertness. I reduce the countlessness, countless number of forms, names and functions to one word, objective universe. And here, so the known, the knower is different from the known, and that knower obtaining in every human mind as the knower of one's own existence, as the knower of existence of everything else, that knower, okay? The knower of the existence of the self, the knower of the existence of anything and everything other than the self is the only knower. How many knowers are there? Who is the knower of the objects? The knower of the knower of the existence of the objects is the knower of the existence of the knower. Only one knower. There are not many knowers. How many knowers are there? It's only one knower. Only one knower. That knower, why does that knower know? Why does that knower know? Knowing is the Swarupam. That knower, you distinguish as the knower of three states of mind, three states of experience. Who is that knower who knows the deep sleep state? Who is the knower or experiencer knows the dream state? Who is the knower who knows the waking state? Who is the knower who knows? If you distinguish, definitely the knower is abstract. Abstract means what? Inexplicable, subtlest, Why? There's nothing subtler than that knower. And that knower, if you ask who's that knower, the knower is only a qualification attributed to the abstract, formless something which is there. The abstract, formless something which is there alone enjoys this knower qualification, knower title. And what is that something? We cannot explain it, inexplicable. What the form of the knower? Formless. What is the attribute of the knower? Attributeless. Nirgunaha arupaha. And being subtlest and being all pervasive also is the very swarupa. That therefore, that knower, that abstract formless knower is actually the knower is the reality. Abstract, formless, attributeless knower is the reality. And how does this qualification knower come? Because the knower is a temporary qualification, title attributed to the abstract, formless reality. From the standpoint of the known changes, known changing states of mind, states of experience. So experiencer is, therefore experience is possible. Experience is, therefore what experienced is. Whatever is experienced in the waking state, what is experienced in the dream state, what is experienced in the deep sleep state also. The objects of experience, the objects experienced in three states of experience are different. The objects experienced in the waking state are elementals. Objects experienced in the dream state are mind projected. Projected by the mind, just the mind. Of course, subtle. And objects experienced in the deep sleep state are what? Blankness. Total ignorance. Total ignorance is the object of experience in deep sleep state. What is total ignorance? Ignorance of the existence of the self. Ignorance of the existence of the self means what? I do not know I am in sleep. In sleep, I am. In sleep, I'm not absent, okay? I am not knowing my own existence in sleep. I am, therefore, not knowing the existence of the world. I am, the world is. Aham asmi, idam asti. That's all. Reduce everything into two. I am, this is. Now in the waking state, I know, I am, I know, the world is. In fact, this is what we're going to see in our class, in our textbook also tomorrow. The camp book, which work we're going to see tomorrow. So this, when there's knowledge of the existence of the self and the existence of the world, it is waking state. When there's no knowledge of the existence of the self and the world, self is not non-existent. The knowledge of the existence is not there. Knowledge of the existence of the world is not there. Then what do you say then? Knowledge is not there. What is this ignorance? There is ignorance of the existence of the self, ignorance of the existence of the world. When you put together is what? Total ignorance. is total ignorance. When there is total ignorance, the entire world of objects is not non-existent. It is as good as non-existent because it remains covered in darkness of ignorance. Understand now why I use the example of light? In the absence of light, the opaque things, the world of opaque things remain covered in darkness. Covered in darkness, losing the status of being existent. The same way, when there is ignorance of the existence of the self in the world, when there's total ignorance, the entire world of material things remains covered in darkness of ignorance. That ignorance, okay, understand now, is an object of knowledge in deep sleep state. When there's total ignorance, there cannot be self-identity. When there is non-identity, no fundamental problem can be triggered. Isn't it? Therefore, there's also sukham, nidra sukham. Nidra sukham, the comfort you have in sleep. Isn't it? That sukham also is experienced. So what is the object of experience in the deep sleep state? Total ignorance, and that comfort is what bliss. Because of non-identity, the fundamental problem being not there, the error is not possible, isn't it? You do not mistake yourself for something in deep sleep state. Why? You do not mistake yourself for a body or a mind or sense organs in deep sleep state. Error in the perception of the self is not there because you do not even know you are. How can you mistake yourself for something which you are not? So erroneous perception is not possible because you do not even know you are. Therefore, in total ignorance, identity being not there, error is also not possible. Error being not there, error caused pains and pleasures are also not there. It is total. What is bliss now? Absence of temporary, absence of experience of pairs of opposites is bliss. Understand, even the people, this Pooja Swamiji likes this example, okay? That's why we think about it, isn't it? Because you have to say what is sukham. In total ignorance also there is sukham. That sukham is not permanent. That can be disturbed. And who will disturb that sukham? Your parabdha karma will disturb you and will wake you up from sleep. You will wake up. Imagine if nobody can come and disturb you. You can sleep like Kumbhakarna. Sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep means what? It is not at all possible. You will be woken up. This is what is called helplessness. In samsara, you have no choice of not getting up. You will get up. You will be woken up, isn't it? You will wake up. If a choice of not be woken up, then you are free. Choice is there means you are free. No choice. You wake up from sleep. That's why it's not nirantara sukham. That's not nirantara sukham. Not nitya sukham. Not nirantara sukham. It's apekshika sukham. Temporary comfort you have. And that sukham is object of experience. I want to understand. And what is that? Because of whose presence? That experience is possible. Experienced objects in deep sleep state are sukham. Temporary sukham. The sukham in terms of the absence of the experience of pairs of opposites. No pain, no pleasure, nothing. The sukham That's also total ignorance. Understand? Sukha vritti, ajnana vritti. That is how the thoughts are. The thought in deep sleep state is in the form of what? Total ignorance and bliss. And that, the object of experience, who can deny that experience now? Tell me. You think of your own deep sleep state, tell me. There is the sukham, isn't it? Which means there is experiencer. And that experiencer, because of whose presence that experience is possible, the experienced is also possible, isn't it? It means that experiencer is a qualification, the knower is a qualification temporarily attributed to that something which is there, which knows, which experiences. What is that which knows, which experiences? What is that? Nirgunam. Isn't it? Ruparehitam, formless, attributeless. How is it? Subtle. How subtle? Inexplicably subtle. Why does it know? Why does it experience? Swarupam, nature. Okay? That which knows. That verb, knows is a verb, but that verb always denotes an action. With reference to the formless reality, the verb knows does not denote an action, it denotes the swarupam. With reference to light, the verb illumines does not denote the action, denotes the swarupam, nature. Light illumines, when you say, the verb does not denote the action, it is a swarupam, nature. So here, your knowing is the swarupam. Knowing is the swarupam. Janati iti jnanam. That is why that abstract formless reality, which is there changelessly, how changelessly? Absolutely, indestructibly. Okay, absolutely indestructible means what? Changeless, free from all these sixfold modifications. So being absolutely indestructible means being free from all these sixfold modifications. Being subject to sixfold modifications means being subject to relative destruction. So matter is subject to relative destruction, whereas consciousness is absolutely free from this relative destruction also. That's what is said to be avinashitvam. So avinashitvam, indestructibility means change, being subject to, not be subject to any change. Avikriyatvam, changelessness. Listen now. And that's why, from the standpoint of that abstract reality, if you ask, is that reality the knower? No. Reality is not the knower. Reality is not the knower. Reality is not the knowledge. Reality is not the known. Reality is not the experiencer. Reality is not the experience. Reality is not the experienced also. When I say reality is not the knower, what does it mean? From the standpoint of reality, reality is not the knower. Does not know. I mean, it doesn't do the act of knowing. It is not the knowledge also. What does it mean? It is not the vritti jnanam. Understand now? When you say it is not the knowledge, it means it is not the knowledge which rises and goes, comes and goes. Vritti jnanam. The knowledge which rises and goes, isn't it? That is vritti jnanam, thought modification. Not jnanam. It is not even the known. That's why jnata jnanam jnayam. Jnata is knower. Jnatru Shabda. Jnanam is a vritti jnanam. The knowledge which rises and goes is vritti jnanam. And jnayam, the known. So jnatru jnana jnaya triputi bheda rahitaha atma. This abstract formless reality implied by the term atma is free from this threefold difference. Knower, known, knowledge, difference. But still this reality is implied by the term knowledge. That's why we say to differentiate this, we say pure knowledge. Why it's implied by the term pure knowledge? Because knowing is its nature. The abstract formless reality is ever of the nature of knowing, is distinct from the knower known knowledge difference. Understand now? That reality is what? Absolutely free from changes. Avikriyatu. Changelessness is the swarupam. Very important. Not being subject to these sixfold modifications is not being subject to relative distinction, which means Atma is absolutely free from distinction. And which is the meaning of the word I. Understand? Therefore, having understood this, Aham, Atma is indestructible, means what should be our understanding? I am indestructible. Atma is immortal, means I am immortal. Atma is unborn, means I am unborn. I am birthless. I am birthless, deathless, changeless, beginningless, endless reality. Which means you have shifted your eye sense intellectually, cognitively from the body mind sense complex to the abstract formless reality consciousness. And in Sanskritam, you have another word. The reality is of the nature of being aware, being conscious. That's why even the word consciousness, the word awareness, the word pure knowledge reveals the reality in terms of its nature of knowing or being conscious, being aware. Okay, that's why Shuddham Chaitanyam, pure awareness, pure consciousness, or pure knowledge, all these three words are synonyms, like words, they do not directly reveal the reality. Okay, Atma, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness means what? It doesn't reveal there directly, like mic, chair, book, pen, apple, house, man, woman. Every word immediately directly denotes a given form. Isn't it? Consciousness. It is not a word denoting a given, indicating a given object directly. It is only a word which reveals the swarupam of the Atma. That's why they reveal the reality in terms of its nature by negating it, what it is not. Okay? That's why these are the very important words. That's why so many words are used here. Avinashi, ajaha, avyayaha. See now, Avinashi, indestructible. Because ajaha means birthlessness implies what? One modification. Avyaha means changelessness. Means the word ajaha and avyaha repeatedly convey, emphatically convey one thing, that this abstract formless reality, there's nothing beyond this consciousness, beyond this abstract reality, which is of the nature of consciousness. Isn't it? It's absolutely free from all these sixfold modifications. Understand? What we Shankara Bhagavata explained. And because the changelessness is the nature of the Atma, what is the next thing? Atma is free from actions and accessories associated with actions. Do you remember this now? Why do we say now? Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Avikriyatvat akartrutvam. Avikriyatvat akartrutvam. Or naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam means actionlessness. Being free from actions. So, Atma is not the doer. Atma is not the enjoyer. Atma has subject of action, subject of enjoyment also. Means, just only not only the karta, the doer means what? Only one of the declensions, isn't it? We have many declensions, isn't it? Subject of action, object of action, instrument of action, beneficiary of action, purpose of action, locus of action. Atma is not anything. Atma is abstract, formless reality in whose presence all these accessories enjoy temporary existence. Atma is free from what? All these accessories. That is why akartrutvam, okay, non-doership is the nature of the Atma. If Atma is akarta, means what? I, the consciousness, am akarta. I am non-doer. Understand? No, do you understand? I am neither the doer nor the non-doer. I am free from all actions. Abhokta, akarta. So, Atma is free from all accessories. Therefore, suppose, how can you say then, I kill somebody. I am killed by other person. I am killed means you are making what? Because in ignorance, you make yourself an object of action. Your identity is strongly with what? The body. I am killed. I'll be killed means what? You're mistaking the Atma, which is of the nature of changelessness, to be the Anatma, subject to all changes. You mean Atma to be an object of action. I'm going to kill the person, and you say what? You make the Atma, you mistake the Atma to be a doer. Subject of action, isn't it? So Atma is neither the subject of action, nor the object of action, not only not subject to an object. Atma is not subject to any of the accessories associated with any action. But the person, Bhagavan is asking here, the one who knows the Atma to be birthless, changeless, indestructible, etc., such a person, how does he kill? Whom does he kill? How does he instigate or persuade another person to kill? Isn't it? That's the question. And we saw these questions actually, not actually the questions, these questions are presented as objections implying negation. Atma can never kill, means what? Not just the act of killing. The act of killing is only given as an example. It is not the act of killing. No action. Not only the act of killing. Atma is absolutely free from all actions. Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Naishkarmyam Atmanah Swarupam. Understood now? So indestructible nature implies changelessness, and we have understood very beautifully which word implies which change. Isn't Atma is, we understood Atma is free from subtle changes in terms of metamorphosis, growth. Atma doesn't grow. Atma is not born. Atma does not die. So no changes means absolutely indestructible. Being changeless, not subject to any action. factiousness is the swarupam. Therefore, Atma is free from what? Bhoktrutvam also. If Atma is not the doer, how can Atma be enjoyer then? Atma cannot be enjoyer also. Who can be the enjoyer of the results of actions? See, enjoying any parts of, having to go through any of the parts of opposites. Sukham or dukkham. You can reduce all parts of opposites into two. Pleasure and pain. Desirable, undesirable situations. In terms of pleasure and pain. Okay. Success, failure, loss, gain. These are the experiences. So Atma is free from this what? Enjoyership also. Atma is not the doer. Atma cannot be the enjoyer also. It is the mind which is the enjoyer. Again, mind by itself cannot be the enjoyer. It's the body, isn't it? Body, mind, sense complex is involved in actions and enjoyment, etc. Blessed by Atma, the presence of Atma, because the blessing of Atma, the body, mind, sense complex enjoys the status of being existent and enjoys the status of being experienced also, enjoyer also. Atma is not the enjoyer. Without the Atma, there cannot be enjoyer. Atma is free from this triputi bheda. Isn't it? Therefore, Atma has no punyam and papam. Atma has no punya papam means, and who has sanchita karma? Atma is absolutely free from sanchita karma. Atma is absolutely free from agami karma. Atma is absolutely free from even parabdha karma also. Atma is absolutely free from all threefold karmas. Karma rahita. And there's no karma for Atma. So Atma, no karma means Atma is free from enjoyership. Atma is free from all the karmas means Atma must be free from what? Samsara. Who can be bound by samsara? Who can be samsara? Only with the one who has karma. If you have sanchita karma in your account, and if you have to go through part of the karma in this life, and you are accumulating agami karma, means who is the one who has sanchita karma in one's account? Who is the one who is going through the part of the karma? Now, who is the one who is accumulating agami karma? Atma is absolutely free from sanchita prarabdha agami karmas. Understand? And if your identity is with this Atma, and you are free from all these three karmas. Being free from the karmas means, what does it mean? Being free from bondage or samsara. So freedom is already the swarupam of the Atma. Being free from all limitations, being free from bondage is the swarupam of the Atma. Freedom, Atma swarupam. Moksha is what? Nityamuktaha Atma. Nityamuktaha means what? Atma is ever free, never bound. That is why you do not attain moksha newly. Even you discover your swarupam, you shift your identity from anatma to atma, you only take ownership of moksha, which is already there, you do not attain. That is why moksha is the accomplishment of the already accomplished. Is it clear what I'm saying? Okay, I have gone out of the track because I wanted to not out of track means what? I'm not with the Bhashyam because I wanted to have this because Pujya Swamiji used to do this sometimes. You know? Because Swamiji's class is so interesting because what is relevant there, even though it's he the way he unfolds, he'll gradually make you see. That's why giver of vision, Swamiji. That's what teaching always. Teaching means what? Giving vision. Giving vision is teaching. One who gives vision is the teaching. Isn't it? Giving vision means what? The teacher should make the student see exactly what the teacher sees. That is what is teaching. So the teacher makes the student see what the teacher sees means the teacher does not make a student believe what the teacher says. He makes it, makes the student see what the teacher sees. This is the difference between preaching and teaching. Okay? Swamiji used to say this. Okay. Sometimes I miss Swamiji sitting in this place. Okay. I miss means I don't miss anything in the world. The one thing I miss in the world is Swamiji's presence sometimes. Okay. Because Swamiji is still, that's what, that day this was very nice to hear from our people. Why this place is called Jnana Pravaha. Jnana Pravaha. Because Swamiji is still alive in the form of his teachings. And knowledge is flowing from here. And the absolute source of knowledge is what? Very reality, Brahma. That Brahma is absolutely eternal. Now, Swamiji, the physical form is gone and he remains as Brahma, as absolute source of knowledge, from whom the knowledge has been flowing. Isn't it? That's why it's Jnana Pravaha. That's why this place is not a memorial center. We don't like the word memorial center, okay? Swamiji is just a physical form, is not there. She's still there as Brahma, isn't it? Again, you have to see this explanation also from the standpoint of the teaching. Otherwise, you won't understand the meaning otherwise. Isn't it true? Very nice, isn't it? Okay. That is why the question was asked. That question is not a real question. It's a question asked as an objection implying the negation. No, Atma does not kill, does not instigate anyone to kill, cannot instigate anyone to kill, definitely cannot, means what? Atma is absolutely free from not only the act of killing, all actions and all accessories associated with the action. Okay. You have to connect this. Change, indestructibility, changelessness, actionlessness. Have to connect. Because being involved in action means what? Be subject to change. Okay. The student had a doubt. Remember what doubt he had last class? Okay. He was listening to the teacher carefully. Yes, Atma is absolutely indestructible. Atma, this abstract reality implied by the term Atma, is indestructible. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Atma is of the nature of changelessness. So Atma has, okay, Atma does not kill. Atma is with all actions, it's fine. But how can you say Jnani, you're talking about the Jnani, isn't it? How can you say Jnani is not subject to, a Jnani is free from all accessories? How can you say that? If Pooja Swami used to put his hand like this, sometimes, you know, some people come and tell him, what you say exactly like that other person who tells. Swamiji means, you know, means that they have not understood Swamiji. They think they're adding, they're praising Swamiji, but it's not really praise, isn't it? Okay, but innocent, naive, you know, people mean well, but they come and say something. What I want to say here, Jnani is Atma. Jnani is Atma. Atmatvat. Jnani is Atmavan. Jnani is Atmavan. Atmavan means what? The one in whose vision the meaning of The word I is not anything material. It's abstract, formless, reality, consciousness. We say wave is water. Wave is what? Jalavan. Jalavan tarangaha. Now that here I am consciousness. This I am is nothing but consciousness. The manifestation of knowledge, isn't it? I is a manifestation of knowledge. Am is a manifestation of knowledge. I am is what? Manifestation of knowledge. And the source of manifestation is what? Abstract, formless, consciousness, pure knowledge. I am is manifest knowledge. Knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am is what? Manifest knowledge. And the source of manifestation is what? Pure knowledge. Understand now? What is I? Pure knowledge. What is am? Isn't it? The pure knowledge existence, pure existence. Knowledge itself is existence. Consciousness itself is existence. Just as the illumining light is the existence of the illumined opaque thing, and this pure consciousness is the pure existence, which is in the form of existence of everything known. Understand? Satchidatma. 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 The chit sat should be, okay? Because of the sat goes, comes first. Chit, chit sat. Satchidatma. Satchit. The pure consciousness existence implied by the term atma is what? Free from all actions. Your atma is means for a wise person, if the I is shifted anatma body mind has compressed to the atma, cognitive, it's a cognitive shift, isn't it? Means consciousness is free from actions means jnani is atma. Jnani is free from actionless, free from all actions. Evacha jnani, whose identity is with atma, cannot kill, cannot instigate to kill also. Cannot do any action, cannot instigate to do anyone also to do any action. Understand? Not the act of killing. The act of killing is an example in the context of the battlefield, that's all. But what it means is any action. Okay. This is the content we've already seen until now. Is it clear now? This is what we have seen already. We have to continue. I think we'll stop here now. Sorry for the delay, sorry for the deception today, but I have summarized today. Tomorrow we'll continue. Okay? For a wise person, there is no karma. Even if the wise person is involved in all physical activities, he may be thinking, a wise jnani may be thinking, he's mentally is active. He must be speaking to people, orally he's active, physically he's active, in spite of being very active physically, orally, mentally also. Jnani is of the nature of actionlessness. Jnani is free from punya pavams. Jnani is free from doership and jaship because Jnani's identity is not with anatma, body, mind and complex. Identity is with atma. Identity with Atma is possible because he exactly knows, Jnani knows what? Knows what? Knows his Swarupam being Atma. So the knower can never become the known. Knower can never become the knower. Understand? And here, the knower known division is only to understand. Please make a note. The knower known division, okay, this methodology is used, and knower known division is shown Saul only sake of distinguishing is to understand. After having understood, you have to say what? The known has no independent existence at all. Therefore, it is not countable as a parallel reality. The known is manifestation of knowledge. The entire world of objects, nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Every object known is manifestation of knowledge. The countless number of manifestations of knowledge constitute the whole jagat. The whole jagat is what? Manifestation of jnana, knowledge. Look at the whole jagat as manifestation of knowledge, then look at the whole universe as Ishvara. And where does the whole world of inert material objects shine? Where does it shine? It shines in the light of manifest knowledge. Understand? And the known world of objects is inseparably there with the knowing, knower, reality consciousness. Understand now? How the illuminator light is inseparably experienced to the illumined object, the knower consciousness is inseparably there, recognizable as what? With the known, every known object. That's why, which fraction of second can you miss Ishvara? Which fraction of second? That is why you have to understand all that is said is Ishvara means what? Who is Ishvara here? The total manifestation of knowledge is Ishvara. And the manifestation is what? Which is recognizable, experienceable in the existence of the world of appearances. And the source of which is what? Is implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Madhaya Purnameva.